You're listening to the New World to Go podcast with your hosts, Redbird and BDLG.
Hello and welcome to another episode of New World to Go. I'm your host, Redbird, and with me is BDLG. Bordy, we got some new information to go over from an interview with Scott Lane. So we're going to go over that today. Obviously, the Winter Festival is also on its way. Should be tomorrow. If you're listening to this today, we should be able to download and play that tomorrow.
So today isn't Monday. Today's Monday.
Right. Well, true, I guess. Yeah. I should have specified there because they could be listening to this on Friday and then they're, you know, they're 3 days late.
Exactly.
But guys, today's Monday, before we get into the podcast, if you guys don't mind leaving a 5-star rating or review on any of the podcasting platforms, we really appreciate that. We've had a ton of people do that now. It really helps us find or be found through that system. So thank you so much for doing that. And then, of course, if you're on YouTube, hit the subscription button, the notification bell. It's free, guys. Just hit the button. We know like at least half of you haven't done that yet. Well, maybe not our podcast listeners. They're the best people, the podcast listeners and the podcast viewers, you know. They probably have hit the sub button. It's the other delinquents that watch our other videos. So definitely not the podcast people, right? So thank you guys for subbing and all those other things. So that about does it, Bordy. Let's hop right in here with the news. All right, so the main news topic today, because we are going to go over the article from Scott Lane in our main topic, is that the winter event launches 12/14 and it spans to, what is the date, Bordy?
1/11, so through January the 11th.
January 11th, so quite a decent time for a winter festival, a month long. You know, as we all know, if you haven't checked out our guide already over on New World Fans, we have a guide up for everything you need to know about the Winter Festival, how to level up, what the rewards for leveling up to the fifth tier of rewards through that system is. Go check out that article. Bordy did a good job over there. Yeah, guys, you're going to have a new faction to grind, lots of new rewards, lots of new kind of items and you know, events that are going to be part of this festival. Bordy, tell us a little bit more about what to expect in the winter event.
Yeah, dude, I don't know about you, but I'm super excited about this thing, man. This is our first like actual event we're going to have in New World. Obviously, we had the turkey thing come in. That was really cool, I thought, but it was kind of an afterthought. And I think that came in after because of all the issues. You know, we all know what happened there. But this first event's like the real first like full-fledged, fleshed-out event, dude. And it's really, really cool. If you haven't had a chance to go on the PTR and check it out, you're in for a really nice treat because all of the settlements in Eternum are going to be nicely decorated. There's big trees in the middle that you have to go to. They're called these big trees of light that play a part in the event. It's really, really dope, man. I am for one super excited about it just to go get in there and grind out some new rewards for the new event leader. Basically, it works like a faction leader. Like whenever you're going to turn in your missions or your quest at a faction, you rank up within that faction. This works the same way, man. You go to the Yeti, you turn in your quest, you gain experience, you gain rep basically for the Winter Convergence event. And then as you progress through the ranks, you can get better and better rewards. And then you pay for those rewards via tokens that you're going to collect during the event. So there's going to be a lot to do. It's not going to be something you're going to be able to do in a day. It's going to take you a little while to get through all of the ranks, which is really cool. It's gonna be a lot of fun, man. I am super excited. And they're also adding a way to gain gypsum from this event now too, which I thought was an incredibly awesome adjustment or addition to this event as well, because now not only are we getting gypsum included with this patch with everything else, they're also incorporating that gypsum system into the winter event, which I thought was really dope, man.
Well, and you know, it's going to be, this patch is not just the winter event. Obviously, we covered a lot of that on the last episode. We are getting gypsum, like Bordy stated, getting some adjustments to PvP balancing and everything like that. We're getting the expertise system, which I'm really excited about, Bordy, because I'm excited to see if the watermark system that we all kind of have adapted, and we have that watermark tool on New World Fans that helps you keep track of your gear score. I'm excited to see if those are accurate, man, because I got a 600 on a lot of my gear slots, but I'm hoping to see that nice 600 expertise level when I log in tomorrow.
Yeah, big same, man. Yep.
So, yeah, lots of exciting things. I am excited. I'm glad that they added a way to get gypsum through this event. And you would think that because they have mentioned there are several holiday events that they want to do throughout the year in New World. We would hope that that diamond gypsum returns through each of the different festivals.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will, man. The way that read is that diamond gypsum is going to be event specific. They didn't say it was winter convergence specific. They just said event specific. So I would imagine that that's going to be the case.
Yeah. So guys, again, don't forget, you'll get a patch. Probably, I would say they'll probably do some downtime tonight in anticipation for the patch tomorrow. And then when you guys wake up tomorrow, you know, it'll be Christmas technically.
In
New World.
Yeah. It's dope, dude. It's dope. It's so cool to me, like logging in, just logging in on the PTR and looking and seeing how different everything looks. It's really cool. And then there's the caves you get to go explore, which are really cool. By the way, we will have all of the locations for everything too on the map. So if you're struggling to find locations for the winter caves and for other things associated with the winter event, you can go to our map. You can click on the filters and then boom, there's everything for you guys. You can go check it out, and that way it'll help you navigate the winter event a little bit easier.
Yes, yes. We're hoping to support everything that you guys need to know or need to use in the winter event over there at New World Fans and our map. So guys, let's hop right in here. I think we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about from the Scott Lane interview with PC Gamer N. So we'll hop right to it. All right. So, Scott Lane, of course, the man himself, mm-hmm. did an interview with PC Gamer N, one of our friends, the website, got an exclusive interview with him about all things New World. So it's interesting, dude, a lot of the, you know, the conversations and stuff that they had were about, you know, obviously the launch of New World and then what to expect in the future. So we did get a little bit of exclusive answers here on what to expect in New World. So it'd be exciting to talk about this with you today, Bordy. The first thing is they talked about how the game, you know, how the launch went, and then, you know, what their experiences were on the back end of things with all of the different bugs and issues that happened with launch, Bordy. So one of the things that he kind of mentioned that they kind of not regretted, but the things that they have made an effort to change because of the instance of launch and what happened was, you know, they felt like they were too focused on fixing the problems, and maybe they had got tied up in the, you know, the process of fixing those things. And they kind of felt like they didn't do a great job with communication with the community. So first, what was your take on that response from Scott on the you know, the communication levels during those periods where we know they were having a lot of downtime, a lot of, you know, issues with the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's spot on. It's nice to see them acknowledge that, you know, but in their defense, I don't want to sound like some big fanboy or anything, which, you know, I guess I kind of am of the game. I really am a fan of the game. I like it a lot, obviously. But in their defense, man, it is kind of, you do get caught up in trying to fix issues and fix the things in front of your face versus thinking and having top of mind awareness that you need to communicate these things to the players and to the people it's affecting. And I can understand that. I can sympathize with that, because whenever you're in a position of trying to get things done, or to put out a fire of that nature, you're just focused on trying to get that done, and then you're going to communicate it after the fact. And so I it was nice to see him acknowledge that and to say that they have missed some communication in some areas, and so they are working on that moving forward. And I personally think they've done a really, really good job of communicating things to players since that point. The dev corner on the forums is excellent. If you haven't gone and checked that out, you should. Every time there's like a big update or some big issue within the community, they always go out there and address it on the developer corner in the forums, which is nice. Now, some of the things they do and hopefully will get better at is some of these like shadow fixes that come in, some of these little shadow patches that come in, like the big, which one of them was pretty big, the changes to the elite zones that weren't mentioned and things like that, that they're not doing a great job communicating on. But I think overall, they're doing an excellent job with communication to the community. I mean, you go look out there and you look at the things they've addressed, they've talked about. They're very blunt, very open, very honest. Whenever they make a mistake, they just say it. They say, it was our fault. We made a mistake. We're going to fix it. We're going to move forward. And I for one, appreciate that. So it was nice to see him again saying they were too focused on fixing the issues, and that that made them miss some communication. I think that's open. That's honest. I think it's valid that you're trying to put out these fires. And so your priority is not communication at that point. Your priority is to fix the problems. And so, you know, hopefully they'll just do a little bit better job of that moving forward. And I think they will, man.
Well, and
I think it's good to see acknowledge.
I mean, to be completely honest, I think it was very obvious that there were problems. I mean, you know, what good? Yeah. I mean, obviously, it would have.
What are they going to say?
Right. We know that there are problems,
on it?
Which is a classic dev statement, right? We know that there are issues with this. Like exactly. Which is fine. Like that's a 2-second thing, and I can understand where that could give at least a peace of mind to players. Like, okay, they are addressing it.
Yeah.
But you know, other than that, you know, I don't really think I question the sincerity, especially of Scott Lane. I remember me and you have been here for a long time, and watching those delay videos, you could kind of see the pain in that man's face when he had to announce that the game was being delayed again. He cares about the game. You know, a lot of the AGS team are passionate about this project, as you've seen through the dev interviews and everything like that. So, you know, I don't ever question the sincerity of the team. I don't think that they're sitting there counting money like a lot of people say that they are, instead of working on the game or trying to fix patches. Like, you know.
No, I don't think this isn't some small indie company that just made $1 million and it's their first time to get paid. You know, this is Amazon. They'd have a lot of money. It's not like they're hurting to try to make this game to make just a buku of money. Obviously, that's going
to
be the end.
Or they're
goal.
Not trying but, to know, run like and it, gun, right? They're not trying to like
right, exactly.
take the money and leave. It's, yeah,
exactly. Get all of the launch money and then go out. That's not what they're in here for. They are trying to create a valid foothold within the gaming industry. And to do that, you're not just going to make an MMO that's wildly successful on launch, gather up all the money and then leave. Like that's going to be very bad for your reputation in the gaming industry. Not good. So they're not out to do that. So I agree with you, man. I've never had the feeling or the sentiment that they're just over there counting their money and running away with the game and they're done with it. Like I've never got that feeling. I've always had the feeling that they're behind the scenes working hard and getting things accomplished. And then whenever they come out with these 4-page dev blogs about what they've been doing, it becomes very apparent. Like, yo, dude, they are working like around the clock to get these things fixed and to get these issues squared away. And it's nice to see. But yeah, the communication thing, man, it is what it is. Like, I understand. I get it. I wasn't really too concerned about it, but I can see where other people might have been. But it was nice to see him acknowledge it for sure.
Well, and there were some points where I wish they would have said something. Like, but those were mostly towards like those big game breaking bugs, the ones that were like the hatchet one where you could, you know, swing your mirror around, and they eventually said something about that, your window around, excuse me, or you know, the dipping and the healing thing. Those things were like very game breaking for in game, and those are the moments where it's like, yeah, they probably at least need to say like, we are addressing this, you know. And hopefully, you know, we don't, obviously sometimes they don't have timetables, right? They don't understand like what it's going to take to fix the problem, which I can completely understand. But just the idea that they are working on it does help give some peace of mind for sure. Moving on to the next one. I thought this was a good little piece in the article. They had mentioned that, you know, because the question had kind of came up like, how do you balance both your maintaining a good and healthy live client and then working on new content? You know, they gave a good answer, I think, or Scott gave a good answer about this to kind of clarify some things. Obviously, live is a priority. They're constantly working on fixing bugs and putting out patches that are going to improve the quality of the game for players that are playing the game. That is their number one priority. But he said this effort does not really affect us creating new content because they're separate teams. And I think
exactly.
And this is another thing. And me and you are we're mature adults, so we can get grumpy at times. I guess I use the word mature in place of old. We're older adults. But dude, I get tired of like hearing the meme like, they had time to put out, you know, Void Gauntlet, but they didn't have time to fix these, you know, this issue or this issue or this issue. It's like, dude, guys, or like they put out a store item, but they didn't fix the, you know, the hatchet bug or something. It's like they aren't even the same people working on the same thing.
Yeah, it's not a very valid argument, and I'm glad that he brought that to everyone's attention because it is true. They have a very large team. They have different people segregated and working into different areas of the game, and so to say that is kind of a goofy thing to say, I think, is like, well, why are they spending time working on this when they should be doing that? Well, I'm sure that department is spending time working on that. This department is spending time working on the other thing. Like they're split, you know what I mean? They have different departments working on different things. So, yeah, it's kind of a goofy argument, I think.
Yeah, goofy is a nice word for it, I think. Yeah. I think obviously, you know, if the live client isn't functioning, no one cares about the new content. So they understand that as well. So we can all rest easy and sleep at night knowing that they know something that's extremely obvious. Okay, so more time on the PTR. This is important. This is a recommendation or feedback that we provided on previous episodes. And they said that they've recognized the error in their way for that first PTR patch, providing obviously more time for content, for testing, and more time on the PTR is something that they definitely intend on doing in the future. Bordy, I think this just makes sense, right? I think a lot of games that are live do this sort of thing. They have a testing realm where players can go out and test new things, but they also need to put enough time up there to make sure that all the bugs and issues with the patch can be updated or fixed before they push it to the live client, which I think that this approach definitely helps facilitate for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, one of the things that was a little bit frustrating for players, and I can see it. I mean, I see it and I can understand, is that the last time or the very first time they put the PTR up, it was like they had the PTR up and then a lot of things weren't tested. Again, I'm going to reference the Elite Zones. That was something that just came in. It wasn't on the PTR. At least no one knew it was on the PTR if it was. And so nobody tested it on the PTR. So no one was able to give feedback for those things. And it would be nice to know, like, what is it that we as players are supposed to be testing on the PTR? Like, are there major changes coming into the difficulty of monsters and in game? Because if so, let us know, and I can guarantee you there'd be a lot of people go out there and test it, and then they would provide feedback for that without a doubt. So those are things that I think they'll get better with over time. And I think the PTR was almost a test for the PTR for the first round, right? Like, I think they already had all this stuff in place and they were going to push it out to live anyway, and they pushed out the PTR and threw that stuff on the PTR basically to test the PTR. And now I do think moving forward, and it is nice that he confirmed it here, that there's going to be more time on PTR, more time in testing. I really like that because I think that the PTR is going to be utilized like as it's intended to be utilized moving forward. And I think it was just a little bit of a timing thing there where they pushed out the PTR, they threw the Void Gauntlet up, and I think they were honestly using that to test the PTR. At least that's what it felt like. And then now moving forward, they're going to use the PTR as its intended purpose. That's what I'm getting out of this, and I think that's what's going to happen. And I was excited to see him acknowledge that too. It's good because all these are things that I had concerns with, and now it looks like the PTR is going to get utilized and makes me happy. Hopefully we'll be able to avoid a lot of the duping and a lot of the other crazy stuff coming to the game by utilizing the PTR appropriately.
Yeah, and I just hope, I don't know if there's a way to incentivize players to play the PTR. I know most of the time it's just like mostly content creators or competitive people that are testing on the PTR because they're ahead on clients, so they want to go ahead and get an edge, you know, get an edge on the test server. And to be honest, most of the time, the competitive people don't want to report the problem that's going to be on, right? They hope it makes it to live so they can use it. So there is kind of a thought that maybe even if they do put it up there, there's some sort of futility involved, but I don't think so. I think having people in there, especially the bugs that don't benefit anybody, those are ones that people will definitely report. And I think this time around, Bordy, the feedback allowed them to change a lot of things before they hit live, like the cost of the gypsum. That was one of the things that they've got feedback from and changed that immediately. They got the diamond gypsum in. They made sure that the topaz gypsum, which is the one that you craft the potion for, they reduced the cooldown and they reduced the amount of materials it takes to craft it. So, you know, a lot of good feedback happened with this past patch of the PTR. This patch has been on PTR for at least 2 weeks, right? Now. So, you know, a pretty healthy time to get test out new content and get improvements out there before the game goes to live. I have high hopes now for the PTR and you know, for the use of it.
Yeah, same. I think you make some great points there for sure. Like a lot of the feedback that was given this time around already has been implemented, and it was implemented pretty quickly. I mean, a lot of players showed their distaste with the amount of money that it cost to do the gypsum system, and so they immediately reverted that and made it basically free for your gypsum, which was absolutely the right call, the right play, I think, for sure, hands down. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's things like that that they have addressed already and have adjusted, just like you said. Which is awesome. So I do think moving forward, we'll continue to see the PTR getting utilized in that manner. And I'm excited for the future, man. I think that things are going to continue to get better. All these road bumps we've had along the way, man, I really hope this next patch that comes in, they can avoid just a massive disaster of a bunch of bugs and a bunch of just things that produce negative feedback, because this patch is a step in the right direction. It's going to be very, very good if they can avoid those things, man, and get back on the right track. I think it's going to be really good.
Yes, and really, it only takes a few good patches to really change people's mindsets. Yeah. And so I think the winter, or I have high hopes for this December update and that effort to move in the right direction there with the patching. Here's something that was interesting as well about, you know, bugs and issues. They noted that the amount of exploits or people using exploits was small, but impactful. Now, Bordy, me and you, we transferred servers recently, but the server we came from, that was obviously the case. Not everybody was using exploits, but when the people did use exploits, it was very obvious and very game-breaking. You know, I think this is a pretty interesting topic to kind of, for Scott to mention, right?
Yeah, it is for sure. And they're aware, man. You know, they're aware of these things that happen, as he mentioned right there. And I do think, unfortunately, here's the thing, man. Unfortunately, whenever there's exploits in the game, they're going to get blown up on Reddit, on the forums. People are going to talk about them, and then they're going to get blown way out of proportion. Now, some of the exploits that were happening were absolutely game-breaking, and it doesn't matter, like, if there was 10 people using them. I mean, whenever you're out there duping a ton of stuff, duping all this void vent, sticking it into the economy and doing all these crazy things, those might be a small portion of the population of the game doing that, but whenever you have that small portion doing that and pumping all these things out there, it does have massive consequences to the game. Then all of the cheating and the exploiting too, it only takes like one company, as we've seen in the past, like it only takes like one company like abusing these mechanics to just kind of ruin almost a whole server, which is very unfortunate. And so I'm glad to see he addressed those. They know their issues. I mean, all of these, here's the thing though, all of these things they're addressing and that he's addressing in this interview, now we have to see them take action on them, right? So just because you're addressing that there's a lot of exploits that are small and impactful, and you're saying that you guys are working on them, going to fix them, hopefully their actions will speak louder than their words here, and these things will get fixed over time, and we'll see these exploits being weeded out, and over time we won't have these issues anymore. But the exploits have been a bane of this game's existence so far, and if they keep happening, it does concern me a little bit. That's one thing they have to most definitely get under control, because if we keep having those moving forward after every single patch, man, people are going to lose interest quickly. So that's why I was saying earlier, I hope that this December patch comes in and it doesn't just break a whole lot of things. I hope it's very, very smooth, and we have a reason to be super happy about the game.
Well, yeah, and really, the people that are complaining about the bugs and stuff on the live client, get over to the PTS and test things. But I can understand,
help alleviate those things.
I can understand not having time to do that for sure. But I do think it's important as a community to help. You know, they're letting us do this for free. You know, test this client, preview new information and new content. It's just very, very important to at least step over there and take the time, especially if you're a dedicated community member, to make sure that these patches come out smoothly. Because the health of the game is all in all of our best interest. We all enjoy New World and want it to succeed. It is concerning when these patches come out and there's a new way that someone has like completely screwed up the economy or now they have this huge advantage in the war if you're willing to exploit. So, yeah, hopefully they can continue to work. And the PTR should help with that for sure.
I think so.
So they did mention something specific for all of our healers out there. Scott Lane said the healing is in a good place in PvE, but they have some stuff coming in the new patch, which is the December update. that will help mitigate healing or provide anti-healing in the live client in PvP. So, you know, we know that there are a lot of new perks on weapons coming now with disease to stop healing or reduce the healing amount of healing. So, dude, I like this idea. I like, you know, me and you have discussed, and a lot of the people in our company and in our community have discussed the notion of you know, healing being tough to balance, because in PvE, you don't want to make it too crappy, because in PvE, then, you know, the dungeons are going to be obviously a lot harder because healing in New World isn't necessarily that easy right now with the targeting system. But you know, having PvE or the healing in PvE makes sense and be effective, but also not having it broken in PvP like we've seen in the past with like the paladin builds where you just run around with great axe or a great or warhammer life staff and just being invincible, being able to stun people and run around and never dying. You know, it's tough to balance, but I think these anti-healing perks, dude, could, you know, obviously with some balancing, could be the answer to that in PvP while maintaining a healthy healing environment in PvE.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a step in the right direction without a doubt. I do that we do still see like the heavy healer. I don't think it alleviated that altogether, no. But they are making steps in the right direction. And this is why, like, I don't get too concerned or too worked up about these types of situations, because as he stated in the article, it's like it is an ongoing battle to balance an MMO. And even whenever they start adding new weapons, et cetera, it's just going to be this ongoing thing. They have to continue to balance, continue to tweak, and continue to work on things. And that's something that happens across the in every MMO. So your favorite build is going to get nerfed at some point, then it's going to get buffed at some point, and so you're going to use it, and then you're not going to want to use it. So if you play the meta, you're just going to have to always be moving. If you don't play the meta and you work hard to get a build, you just got to be patient until that build comes back, and it'll eventually come back. It might take a while for it to come back, but that's the problem. Like, that's why I don't get too super worked up about these things, because I know it's always going to be an ever-shifting thing. What I like to see and what I have seen from New World with the healing issue, because it has been a problem. I mean, the meta with the healers that is just the heavy healer, that's not fun, man. That is not fun PvP gameplay, and it was tilting me. It was tilting everyone that played that was PvPing. There's an outpost rush or in any other form of PvP. It was too powerful. Well, now they have made adjustments, and they're making strides to make that change, to make healing not as powerful. And so that's why I guess it doesn't bother me as much, because I see the changes that they're trying to make. I see that every time they put out a patch, they are addressing it. They're trying to get it balanced. They're trying to push it in the right direction. I think eventually it'll get there. And there's always going to be issues with combat in an MMO. It's just always going to be a thing, and balancing is always going to be an ever ongoing procedure. So I see them trying to work at it. I see them addressing healing every patch. I see them changing things. I do think these new perks are great. I think that is a step in the right direction for sure. Will it completely do the trick? Probably not. But it's a step in the right direction, right? So that's why I don't get too worked up about these things, and I think it's gonna be fine, man.
Yeah. It's just it always is an issue when you introduce a new weapon, when you introduce new perks. You're gonna have to balance things. It's impossible to kind of know how the community at large will interact with these, you know, these things in the meta and everything. And that's what you kind of got to wait to do. You got to wait for the meta to settle and then figure out, are these balanced, but this thing is just strong, or is this thing like broken and oppressive? And I think that takes a little bit of time to determine. Obviously, you know, even now the heavy healing, the heavy armor healer with the Warhammer is still really, really good. And also, you know, if someone, you know, if you're in a group with a healer, obviously you should have an advantage over another group without a healer. Like that's fine. But it's where I think the solo person comes in, that this person can now 1v5 people effectively because of, you know, the strength of a certain weapon. That's when I think things need to be addressed. And I think the life staff's getting better. I don't think it's as bad as it was. But you do have some other weapons that are in that same category now that need to have attention placed on them because of how strong they are. But I think you know, this next patch should adjust things well enough to where we might need some time to kind of see where that meta settles down and see where things are at. But I do think the anti-healing perks are good. I think that they should be pretty decent in PvP for sure. So in-game is a priority, Bordy. They mentioned that. I don't know how much we want to talk about this, but it does, obviously they know how important it is to continue to flesh out the in-game. And I think the gypsum system does a really good job at unifying placing uniformity on the high watermark system, and where now a player knows I am advancing. I saw this cool, dope-looking triangle graphic pop up on my screen saying that I got better. I think things like that go a long ways into helping people feel like they're progressing in the end game.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's kind of where the whole watermark system was missing out. Number one, there wasn't enough variety. And number two, there was no sense of progression because you didn't know what your watermark actually was unless you were tracking it externally, which just doesn't feel good in the game, right? Like you get a drop, it's cool, but you don't know, you can't really see that anywhere. And so you can't see visually that you are progressing your character in the game. So it makes it hard to know and understand unless you're tracking it outside somewhere, like on our gear score tracker, which was working great. But even that, it's like, well, I would rather see it in the game. You know, I want to see that I'm progressing in the game. So I think making these strides they're making with the watermark system, I know a lot of people hate the watermark system altogether, but I think the change to the expertise is good. I think it's a step in the right direction. There's so many ways to increase it. Now you can do just about anything in the game to get a gypsum. You can do your favorite activity every day, get a gypsum. You get multiple gypsum a day, so you can progress through the watermark system a little bit easier, through the expertise system a little bit easier now. And so I do like that he mentioned in-game as a priority, because I think a lot of people are kind of reaching in game now, and in game most definitely was lacking. I mean, dude, everybody was going and running the elite chests, and that's just not fun. And so I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of players hit 60 and they're like, well, if this is all I'm going to be able to do, then I don't want to do this, especially on the low pop servers when you have things like Outpost Rush that you can't queue for. Well, then what do you do on those low pop servers? You know, you go work on trade skills, or you go grind out your watermark, and that gets real old real fast. So I am very excited to see them say that in-game is a priority. And like I said before, we want to see their actions speak louder than their words. And I think they have in this situation, because these changes to the in-game grind are massive, dude. The changes to the gypsum system and the way that in-game works now is pretty huge. I mean, the things that they're doing to push it in the right direction are big. I think there's obviously going to have to be more work done over time for sure. Cause I mean, just like every other system in an MMO, it's just an ever evolving thing, but dude, it's a step in the right direction. And they still say it's a priority to keep going. So it's nice. Nice to see.
Yeah. You know, they've done a good job. I would have never expected an improvement in this sort of system this early on. That's for sure.
Yeah, me either.
I think that says a lot about their knowledge on what the game needs, you know, what players have been asking for, which is another big thing, you know, in this sort of environment. Now, they do have to be careful sometimes about listening to people that shouldn't be listened to. But so far, I think the high watermark system complaints or concerns are valid. Like, that, you know, it doesn't feel necessarily as good as it could when you progress your character past level 60. And this is going to play a big role in getting that, you know, getting that feeling a lot better. So I think great changes so far. And obviously they have a lot of things in the future planned, and we'll talk a little bit about more about those here in a bit. They have a solution plan for faction balance. This is kind of a statement. We don't have to, and we can talk a little bit about this if you want, but you know, they currently have, you know, there is a concern about faction imbalance, and they do currently have plans in place for a solution for that, Bordy. So they didn't say anything about it, so I don't know how much we can actually talk about it, but it's nice to know that they have it, right?
Yeah. And I think I've heard them mention some things before, and they kind of mentioned some of the ideas they had around faction balance in another article. It's been a couple months ago now, but yeah, it's good to see that they're still working on those things, iterating them. They have their eye on them. But yeah, he didn't go into any depth about what types of systems they have into play. So I don't really know what to talk about there other than to say, good. I hope that it works out, whatever they have in place, because I can see that being an issue. I don't know, man. So far, we just now transferred over to Eden. It seems fairly even over here, but I don't know. We haven't been over here long enough to really make an assessment, I don't think. So I can see that being an issue long term. So I'm glad that they're keeping an eye on it. You know, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. I think that's all that needs to be said is, you know, they will constantly have to look at this because of the three faction system and the potential for imbalance. Like, an entire server could be overran. by one faction. So obviously we knew this is going to be a problem from the jump, even before launch. So new expeditions and new quests. Now it's just kind of, we'll tie this into here too. And Bordy, an LFG system for the expedition. So again, it's nice to hear. We know that this has been data mined, but now we've heard Scott Lang talk about it. So I think it's pretty safe to think that these things are coming in the future for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll see an LFG system along with a lot of other quality of life improvements that are going to happen without a doubt. I think those things will come over time. And I think adding those things like that, I do think will bring players back, especially the PvE crowd. I have been having questions asked my stream a lot here lately, you know, is this game for PvE players? And it's kind of hard to really say for sure right now that it is, because you have the tuning orb system and all of those things. So if all you want to do is run dungeons all the time, it's hard to get in there. Hopefully with the addition of like an LFG system, and then adding new expeditions and new quests associated with those expeditions, hopefully they kind of push to that realm a little bit more while maintaining the PvP aspect side of things too. That's one of the reasons you and I left ESO, Red, is because they pushed so heavily into PvE aspects that they kind of just, PvP was kind of an afterthought, right? Well, New World is so heavily based on PvP right now, it almost feels like PvE is almost a little bit of an afterthought, because this game was so... This game wasn't designed around PvE initially, and they're trying to kind of add it over time, which I think they're doing a pretty good job of so far. But it's exciting to know that they're going to add those things, add the quality of life, add new expeditions, and they're trying to push in that realm. I just hope they're very careful that they don't go too far into the PvE realm, that they forget about us PvP players, and don't keep working on that side of things too, which I don't think they will, because there's... The faction control system, the wars, and all that stuff are such pivotal points, such pivotal... gameplay components of New World that I don't think they will. And I really hope they can strike that balance. If they can strike the balance between good PvE and like engaging in-game, good tons of, not even in-game, just tons of dungeons you can run all the time, you can get into with the LFG system, get into them easier, man, I think it'll be in a good spot.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is very, very important that we've learned in covering MMOs for a long time to people is PvE, competitive, hard, difficult, challenging PvE. A majority of the player base in MMOs like PvE. It's just, it's plain and simple. So I do hope, I've talked about this for a long time, I really do hope they have some sort of raiding plan. Obviously, LFG for expeditions, new expeditions. We've heard leaks, which he did not mention in this interview, but we've had leaks and information about potential mutations to the current expeditions that will allow you to progress like from like level 1 to level 10, having the different difficulty levels of that would be very, very good for the game and pull and hold more people that enjoy that sort of thing. So I do hope they can continue to push down the PvE route, because I think it's important, Bordy. I really do. For the health of the game.
Yeah, same.
The next one they talked about, which I think is a little bit odd right now, is fresh servers. So basically they said that we considered fresh servers, but it's still a long ways off. I don't know how. I mean, obviously if people want that thing to have like an opportunity to restart fresh and maybe get an opportunity to go snag Everfall or Windsward right off the bat, I guess that might bring something to the table or an interest, to some of the people in the community to do. But I mean, I just think it's odd when the game is only 2 years or 2 months old to talk about fresh servers already. Like, I just think that's a tad bit strange.
Yeah.
What is your take on that conversation?
Well, I think fresh servers right now would be absolutely goofy. Like, I don't know why you'd add fresh servers when you're trying to merge servers and all these servers low pop. Like, that would be absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think they're going to do that at all. He said it'd be a long way off if they are doing it. But one of the things that struck me as odd, too, is that in the interview, along with the fresh server thing, he had mentioned that the reason players wanted fresh servers, I think, is just kind of a reset so that all of the territories are open or available or something to that effect. I can't remember the exact wording now, but I think it was kind of like a... just kind of along the lines of the faction imbalance thing, maybe. And one of the things that he mentioned in there is something, he mentioned something about like seasons, and he didn't elaborate on seasons, but he said that's one of the systems they may be looking at that, like in the future, is having some sort of seasons in the
like
game.
Like Diablo or
maybe
Path of Exile.
Along those lines. maybe along those lines, but I don't know what he meant because he didn't elaborate on that. And I don't know how I feel about that personally. I'm not real sure how I would feel about like seasons, especially if it's like a reset of territory control or something like that. You know, like you fight for the territory, and then like this season goes on until it goes on for 3 months, and then at the end of 3 months, the territory is reset, and then you have a whole new season. Like, I don't know how I feel about that in this game, because if you fight to own the territory, you should own the territory. With the war system the way it is, you always have an opportunity to go take over the territory. I don't know how valid or good it would be to implement some sort of like reset on that. I don't know, man. So I don't know what is meant by seasons. Nobody does at this point because he didn't elaborate and he's never elaborated on that. I have heard them make mention of this before in the past too, and about having like implementing a season pass potentially. But I don't know what that means. Like I still don't know what any of that means. So it's too early to speculate on it. I just, whatever they do in that regard, I hope it's very well thought out, and very much ties into the overall gameplay of the game, because I don't know, man. I don't know about resetting territory ownership, dude. What if that's what they mean? What do you think? Which I don't know if that's what they mean. So we're sitting here speculating about it, and I have no idea. But would you be okay if territory ownership was reset after like 3 months, and then everybody just had to go fight for it again?
Well, I think they could find ways to play that into like the lore of Aeternum, maybe. Like the mystery of the island and all of those things. Yeah. I can see where they could play something like that into the current systems. But like, should we really like pretend like the reason that the people that the companies that are owning Everfall and Windsward, because they're owning is because they got there first at this point? No. Those people, that's a good company. That's a good company that knows how to play, to war, defend, and play.
Exactly.
It's not going to change. They're going to get Everfall and Windsward within a week of the reset. So what, like, is it necessary? Like, is it viable for a system? I don't know. Maybe those people would like another opportunity to kind of win Everfall again. Because right now they're not getting, you know, challenged or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But I do think that it's a little early to be talking about a seasonal system when we haven't really seen, you know, again, we've only seen about 2 months worth of content. And I think there are way more important things to institute into the game other than like these hard wipes or these hard resets where God forbid, if I have to level to level 60 again, Bordy, I'm not going to be happy.
That can't be a thing, though. I don't think that's what they mean.
Well, that's
about
what seasons in Diablo and Path of Exile entail.
I don't think they could do that. I don't think they could do that in New World. I think seasons would be more along the lines of territory control. That's what I would have in my mind. If they make it to where you have to re-level to 60, that would be awful. I think everybody would quit the game. Nobody's going to.
And maybe that ties into the other servers, right? Is seasonal servers, maybe. Right? Like some servers are permanent and some are seasonal. Maybe that could be the case. Who knows?
Maybe. I have no idea what they mean by that, man. But I just hope and I trust that they would think it through and know what they're doing and wouldn't make any crazy decisions based on that. I think so far the decisions they've made have been pretty rational if we're really looking at it. Like, I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with that. But I think they have been. I think the problems have been the bugs and the things that have plagued them up to this point. All of the exploits, all the bugs, all the things that have happened. In terms of like the decisions they've made to implement all the systems that they made so far, I think so far they've been pretty good, man.
Yeah, I would agree with
that. The players, they've implemented good systems. The gypsum system, people don't agree with it. Some people don't. I think overall it's being well received by the community, though, from what I understand.
I'd be interested to hear a plausible case against the gypsum system. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know what it would be at this point, but I do think they're making rational, good decisions based on player feedback, and they're thinking things through. So I would hope that they'll apply that same rationale to something like the seasons, if they ever implement that, which right now I think that's so far away. I think it would probably be at least several months, if not a year out, before we see anything like that anyway. So it was just interesting to see him mention that. So we'll see what happens down, down several months or a year from now, how things shape up.
Yes, which will be exciting. You know, it's exciting to think about the future of New World, because if they've gotten this much new, they've already put in a new weapon, they're instituting a couple new in-game systems, a new a festival. Like, I'm excited to see what New World can do in an entire year with new content, for sure. Bordy, one of the other things what they've mentioned was the one character limit. Again, like, that's one of the reasons I like New World, is I don't feel like I need an alt. I just thought that was an interesting take. There's no reason to have a second server or a second character on a server. I couldn't imagine, other than bank space, which maybe that's like the better, you know, the better thing to talk about is, you know, inventory management. Like, what does the future hold for inventory management? Because right now it is awful. It's really
toxic,
bad.
Yeah, it is toxic, dude. It's one of my pain points of the game, man. It doesn't really add anything to the game. You know, like, I understand it's kind of an Azoth thing to travel around and manage your inventory, but man, it's so rough, dude. I always thought this is one of the things I thought was cool. I'm going to run this by really quickly. I know we're kind of running out of time for the podcast, but here's something I thought was cool, Red, that I had kind of thought about on stream one day, and I was tossing this idea out there. What if somehow they made it to where, like, if you're in Cutlass Keys and you get like 50 territory standing in Cutlass Keys, then you have the option to link that trading or to link that storage with another adjacent place. So then you have to go over to First Light, get your 50 territory standing over there, and then you have the option to link those together for like a fee of gold or something, and then they're linked together permanently. And then you can do the same thing with Monarch's Bluff. You get that up to 50, and then you can link that down to Cutlass, which then links over to First Light. So then that gives you a reason to go grind out territory standing in these areas, and then you eventually can link all of your storages or something. I don't know, man. That's just like an off the wall thought, but like, dude, managing inventory in this game is—it's not fun. It is not a fun aspect of the game, and I hope they have plans for something in the future. Which he didn't mention anything about that. Oh, other than inventory management while running, he did say that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's an improvement. I'll take it, dude. I think anything they can tie to the territory standing system would be great, because right now, past a certain level, it doesn't matter. Like you're getting like a fraction of a percent increase of your harvesting time or, you know, the storage matters, but eventually, you know, like, it takes so long to grind out a level, that, mm-hmm. you know, it isn't necessarily worth the time. I agree. Anything they can do, number one, with the settlement system and the inventory system, that kind of kills two birds with one stone, the suggestion you made. So I like it, man. I think it would be dope.
Well, I think the thought that they had too is like, if your faction owns territory, then you can transfer between your storages, but the cost of coin to transfer that from one storage to another isn't worth it. It's like, dude, that should be free or something, or very, very minimal. It's like, dude, it costs like 300-400 gold to transfer one item from one. Like, dude, I'm not going to do that, man. That's crazy. Like, it just make it cost like 5 gold or something, or 5 coin, or make it free. If my faction owns these, then I should be able to do this for free or something. I don't know. I think that idea is cool because it gives you a reason to fight for territory, and it gives you reason more of a reason to own territory. But then it negates it, because then it costs so much money to transfer items and nobody uses it. Or at least I don't know of anybody that uses it. I've never used it because I'm not going to pay money to transfer my items. I don't want the items that desperately. You know, I'll just run over there or Azoth over there.
Well, I forgot. I haven't used it because I forgot it was a feature. But it sounds like I should be. It sounds like I shouldn't have been using it anyways, because it's expensive.
No, yeah.
And if we're being honest with our audience, we're both poor right now in game.
Yeah, yo, dude, I'm getting back up there, man. I have been grinding out money pretty hard lately. So,
well, I have about, you know, I have about 30,000 worth of items on the auction or the TP, getting ready to be traded. So, we'll see how that goes. But I think that is one of the things that is a little irritating, is inventory management, having to move your stuff. But I can kind of understand having it tied to the territory ownership. You know, the upgrading of you know, the upgrading of settlements and stuff, like, it can be an important aspect there. So I don't know what the solution is, but I would definitely like it to be a little bit more user friendly, for sure. They didn't mention solo leveling. I don't know how much we want to go into that. Like, I feel like it's okay. You can level solo. Like, it's not, you know, it's doable. I just thought that was an interesting thing to mention. Map improvements and then inventory management while running. You said it already. You know, obviously they've got big plans for the game so far. Obviously, we all know that eventually we're getting Brimstone Sands. We don't know when that is, but Map, you know, they're going to continue to expand upon that. He did talk a lot about, you know, expanding the world of Eternum and really not having a limitation on the size of Eternum. Which I thought was
interesting.
A pretty interesting thing, because there is a map circulating of the complete version of Eternum.
Maybe one day there'll be a world in which there's a lot less servers, but a lot more people on each server.
Right.
I think that's something that could potentially happen if the world continues to get larger and larger and larger, which I think would be dope. I'm not opposed to that at all. I thought that was cool. And one of my big takeaways from the whole interview, though, was that he referenced multiple times throughout there that they have plans for like years for this game. They it's still not something that's like going away anytime soon, regardless of what people might think. They still have enough players. They still have a lot of players supporting the game. And the game's, I think they really, truly do have like these long-term plans for this game to be around for a very long time. And I'm excited for the future, man. And that got me excited too, just seeing him reiterate that we have plans for a long time. Like, we have a long-term plan for this game.
Well, and I think too, you know, with our extensive history of playing MMOs, I kind of already know, like, this is how things go. Like, there's usually a lot of people on launch, and then the amount of people in the community kind of dies down a little bit, but then over time, slowly, and throughout expansions and everything, you build up a larger player base. You know, obviously the expansion of Eternum sounds extremely fun. The potential increase of player caps on a server, you know, like you had mentioned, also could be really good for the future. And overall, dude, I when they said 10 years, I believe them. Like, there's no reason to start, you know, making empty promises to people that, you know, that have just played the game or didn't even, at that point when they said that, they didn't even hadn't had the game released yet. So I do think that they have a 10-year plan, and obviously I think a lot of us who are enjoying New World right now hope they make it there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
All right, buddy. Well, again, you know, good article or interview over there with Scott Lane. You can go check it out for yourselves over there, PC Gamer N. And we will head right over to our company of the week. All right, Bordy, take it away with the first company, The Foliage.
Yeah, so the Foliage, they are Region NA East. They are Faction Marauders, and they are currently recruiting. It says the Foliage is 303 Esports backed. I'm not sure what that means. You know who 303 Esports
is?
It's
an esports team, yeah.
Okay, well, it says they're 303 Esports backed. So I'm unfamiliar with them, but there you go. Maybe you can look them up and check them out.
Hoping for some arenas, maybe, this team.
Yeah, maybe so. And I'm hoping for some arenas too. That would be incredible. So it says, who are we? The Foliage is a group of like-minded gamers that has formed in our homegrown community and from friends of friends. They're a mix of esports professionals, streamers, longtime MMO lovers, PvP cracks, crafting buffs, and just overall sociable people. We have a strong foundation, but want to hit the ground running, and they're looking for some more members to get their company to cap so they can come out in full force. It sounds like they are more of a competitive style company, so if you want to be involved in that, go check them out. They're called The Foliage. They're an NA East company. Looks like a really dope group to be a part of. It says they're looking for 18 plus people, and you must be a decent human being, which I think is a pretty good requirement, you know.
It can be challenging to find at times on the internet. Yeah, for sure.
It can be. Yeah, it can be. It says if you want to focus on territory control, PvP, and gearing up, or you're just obsessed with crafting and want to see the best items in Eternum crafted by your hands put to good use, then you can join them. So yes, it sounds like they're very much a very competitive company, so go check them out. They are called The Foliage. The next one we have here, Red, is called Heroes of the Spark. They are also in NA East, and their server is Dominora. Their faction is Covenant, those filthy freaking Covenants, bro. They have a pretty cool looking logo here, man, with a life staff and the sword with some wings around their hero gaming group. It's pretty dope. And it says they are a multi-game community with their roots in the Elder Scrolls Online. They're currently managed Discord of 1,000 plus players. As a part of their guild expansion initiative, they've added New World, the New World chapter, to their guild operations under the name Heroes of the Spark. They are highly organized Guild of Gamers, whose primary focus is around having fun. And they say, don't let that fool you, as we're also a highly competitive group of people. Our focus in game has always been around balance, serving as leaders in all aspects of the game. We also enjoy teaching and are more willing to lend a helping hand to our fellow comrades in their time of need. So it sounds like they are very much a community-focused, community-driven group of people. So go check out Heroes of the Spark. They are NA East. It also says they have a comprehensive guild ranking system, which might be pretty interesting to go check out. I'll let you guys inquire about that yourselves if you're interested in that. And of course, their information will be linked everywhere this podcast can be found, as well as the Foliage's information. That will be linked everywhere this podcast can be found as well. So thank you guys for posting on New World Fans. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you very much to all our patrons as well. Been a great episode, Bordy. Thank you. Next episode is episode 98. So we'll be right back here recording the podcast live for you guys. Thank you guys for listening so much. We really, really appreciate it. Again, don't forget to hit the subscription button if you're on YouTube. A 5-star rating review if you're listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you in another episode of New World to Go.